I want to share some thoughts with you this morning that pertain to missions, how faith is involved in the very concept of missions. Because oftentimes we're faced with situations where we want to do something and you say, but Lord, I just can't. Lord, I just can't. You know, God takes us to a point in our lives where we can't rely on our own resources. Do you know that? That God will oftentimes take us to a point in our lives where we can't rely just on our resources, where it takes faith to take us beyond that point. Beyond that point is a place of blessing. Beyond that point is a place where God wants to take us. But we stand there and we have to make the decision. Are we going to trust God, and are we going to allow him to do something by faith in our lives, or are we going to rely on our own resources? Now, here's the thing. The Christian life is such that you learn lessons along the way. When you first gave your heart to the Lord, you experienced the joy of salvation. You felt the cleansing power of Christ, sins forgiven. But that's not all there is. What happens is then God leads you and guides you. God builds character into our lives. God wants you to mature. Just like a baby matures, God wants you to mature. Because as you mature, there's greater blessing along the way. If you mature in the Lord, as you get stronger in the Lord, the blessing is there for you. If you don't, and some Christians, they're just satisfied to come and, you know, go to church once a week and that's it. And they kind of resist the Lord when he tries to work in their lives. When God speaks to them and says, you ought to do this. And oftentimes it's a matter of faith. Say, but Lord, you know, I can't do that, or I'm not able to do that. And we draw lines that become barriers in our walk with Christ. This morning I want to share a few things. I hope God will free you from the restrictions that you have placed in your life. I trust God will do something spiritually wonderful for you this morning and freeing you to help to see beyond your current circumstances, your current needs, and to look beyond and see that the blessing has for you. I want to speak to you on missions and faith. Missions and faith. I came across in my recent studies and readings, I came across a sermon, kind of a sermon outline that Brother Wendell Cover, he pastors the Assembly of God in the great state of Virginia, and he had some things there that I thought were wonderful for us to be reminded of, and so I'm going to share a few things from a sermon that he preached and some thoughts and tie it to this concept of faith and how it works in the area of missions. Isaiah 55:8 says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Let's ask the Lord to anoint his word to us. Father, we thank you for who you are and for what you've done in our lives. And God, I pray this morning that you will help us to move beyond where we are into that which you have for us. Let us not be bogged down and held captive by the cares of life or the things that we consume ourselves with that really are not as important as the eternal things that you have prepared for us. And I pray this morning you will help us to reach out and by faith achieve those great things that you have in store for us as we serve you. Bless your word to our hearts, O Lord, I pray. My thoughts are not your thoughts. One of the first things you realize as a Christian is that God's ways and his thoughts, he doesn't necessarily think the way we do. Have you ever tried to figure something out, thinking, now how is God in this? And then realize later on, you know, I was way off base. I thought God was going to do this. I thought God was going to do that. And that didn't happen at all. And you realize that in the end, great blessing came from it. Things kind of worked out, but it wasn't because you figured it all out. It was because God had done something extraordinary. There comes a time in our lives when we need to trust the word of the living God. Hebrews 11:1, it's one of those great verses of scripture, says this, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." There's a very real world, and I've mentioned this before to you in sermons and in Bible instruction. There's a world that is very real, but it's in the invisible realm. And because it's in the invisible realm, sometimes people don't pay heed to it. They don't give it as much attention. They think that everything that's real is what you see. You have those that are tied into this idea, well, if I see it, if I can experience it and see it, then that's what's real. And they don't understand that there is a whole realm, an invisible realm. And God works and moves in that realm. And so does the enemy of our soul, Satan. He also works and moves in that realm. He's described as the prince of the power of the air. And so there are a lot of things that are going on all around us. If you had eyes that could see the invisible, if it was made real to you, made visible to you now, you would probably be astounded and astonished at all the activity. There very well might be a lot more activity going on in the invisible realm than there is in the visible. It would astound you. And when you're dealing with that, and when you don't see the particulars as we tend to handle them here in the natural world in which we live, it takes something, it takes some power, it takes some way in which we can deal with those things that would affect our well-being and our souls. And God has ordained that it is this thing called faith. It starts with faith. A true belief in God and that God has good things in store for you. And God wants to do that which will enhance your life and bless you. Faith, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. A number of years ago, there was an organization called the Southern Baptist Convention. It was organized back in 1845 at the First Baptist Church in Augusta, Georgia. And as a tribute to the founding fathers of the church, they placed this inscription on the building. It said this: men who see the invisible, hear the inaudible, believe the incredible, and think the unthinkable. A.W. Tozer, a Christian writer of years gone by, he wrote this, and listen carefully to what he said. He said, a real Christian is an odd number anyway. He feels supreme love for one whom he has never seen, talks familiarly every day to someone he cannot see, expects to go to heaven on the virtue of another, empties himself in order to be full, admits he is wrong so he can be declared right, goes down in order to get up, is strongest when he is weakest, richest when he is poorest, and happiest when he feels the worst. He dies so he can live, forsakes in order to have, gives away so he can keep, sees the invisible, hears the inaudible, and knows that which passes knowledge. Stop and think about that. That's kind of right. You say, what a crazy person. What a strange individual. And yet that describes quite accurately what the Bible requires of us as followers of Jesus Christ. Because you see, we walk by faith, not by sight. Every child of God is to walk by faith and not by sight. Say, well, I don't know how that's going to make sense. Well, that's the whole point. You need to trust the God who loves you, who has called you out of the world. You need to believe him. And as you put your trust in him, he will not let you down. We see the visible. We hear the audible. We believe the credible. We think the thinkable and do the possible. He goes on to say, if I see the invisible, hear the inaudible, believe the incredible, and think the unthinkable, I will do the impossible. And Jesus said this: the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. So we do the possible, and God does the impossible. First of all, let's take a look at that concept of seeing the invisible. Going back to Hebrews, the 11th chapter and the first verse, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. There's another verse of Scripture in Romans, the first chapter, the 20th verse. It says this: for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Talking again about the invisible attributes of God and the workings of God, and yet God makes them known through his creation. It goes on to say in Colossians, Jesus is the expression of the invisible God. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. People say, what is God like? And so we often answer, well, then you need to use the words of Scripture. Whoever has seen Jesus, if You've seen what the Father's like as you look at his life. Jesus said this. He said, "He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." And so Jesus was in direct communication with the invisible God. Not only seeing the invisible, it's part of faith, but also hearing the inaudible. And there are times in our lives we realize that hearing is more than sound. The scripture puts it this way in Mark, the 8th chapter, "Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not." It goes on to say in Revelation, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith." Hearing what the Spirit saith? I can hear what someone else is saying to me, but you mean I can actually hear what the Spirit says? Oftentimes, when we hear a sermon or we're in a gathering, God will begin to stir our hearts, and it's as if we're hearing an inner voice. People talk about the inner voice. We're not talking to ourselves. It's God oftentimes trying to communicate with us, and he's speaking to us through our spirits. It's the inaudible. No one else hears it, but we hear it, and we know it's real. There are some times when people think, well, if you're hearing voices, well, that's crazy. There's something wrong with you. You need to understand that there is a holy, inaudible voice that can be heard by God's people. People who hear voices, not all of them are crazy. Not all of them need psychiatric help. Oftentimes God speaks to us. No one else hears that, but we hear it. We hear it. And we know what God is saying. And God speaks to us oftentimes in an inaudible way. He speaks to our hearts. He speaks to our souls. So hearing, in a sense, is more than just sound. Jesus said this, he said in John, the 12th chapter, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment that I should say what I should say and what I should speak." He was hearing from heaven, and then he was speaking. And then we have this statement from John the Revelator, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day," and while he's in the Spirit, then he goes on to say, "and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet." John was hearing something in the spiritual realm also. Oh, it wasn't audible perhaps to others, but oh, he heard it in his spirit. God speaks to his people in that inaudible way, inaudible to others, but very real to those who receive his message. What about believing the incredible? Seeing the invisible, hearing the inaudible, but also believing the incredible. You know, there are times when we face situations and we say, there's just no way, there's just no way. That's where faith comes to play. And that's where faith is required. That's part of living the Christian life. That's part of walking the Christian walk. Having a faith that is not deterred, one that is unshaken, persevering in what we know is true. You don't see it with your eyes. And see, that's the problem, is because we are so oriented in such a way that if we can see it, we can believe it. But if we can't see it, it's hard to believe it. Oftentimes you want to see some evidence. And when we don't see the evidence, when we think we ought to see it, then it challenges our faith. It challenges our belief. Faith is the title deed to all the glorious things hoped for in the Word of God. Faith takes hope and makes the bold assumption that hope is real and goes forward with confidence. Faith is, consider these things taken from the Word. Faith is, and you find it in the faith chapter. If you go in Hebrews, you'll find that there's, in the 11th chapter, many things there that will encourage your faith. Faith is Abraham looking for a city. It's climbing a mountain and seeing there are more mountains to climb. Faith is crossing the Red Sea with enemies pursuing you. Faith is taking a shepherd's sling and going after Goliath. Can you imagine the challenge there? Faith is taking the jawbone of a mule and killing 1,000 Philistines. Faith is marching around the walls of a city until they fall down. Faith is following the star to Bethlehem. Faith is going to Gethsemane, the cross, the grave, believing in the resurrection. Faith is walking with God as Enoch did when it's not popular. Faith is building an ark when it's never rained. Faith is taking the gospel to every tribe, nation, and tongue. On Mission Sunday, we talk about taking the gospel. How is it possible? How is it possible? How could we do it? Why, our resources are so limited, and yet by faith we believe it can be done. And there's evidence today with our new technologies that in our lifetime, In fact, in very few short years, it's believed that we can actually take the gospel to everybody on the face of the earth so that everybody will at least have one opportunity to accept Jesus as their Savior. Who would have thought that? Who would have believed it just a few years ago? And yet, it's becoming a reality in our day. Well, also, how about this concept of thinking the unthinkable? Thinking the unthinkable. In Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, it says this: "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think." Are there some things that you think is going to be the greatest blessing in your life, and then God comes along and he just messes that all up and he says, "Oh, there's something even greater." See, sometimes we think we've arrived. We've reached the pinnacle of life. We're at the top now. We're at the summit. There's nothing really more to experience. And then God reveals, "Oh, yes, there is. There's something more." How about that? How about the unthinkable? There's even an unthinkable thing. We're not even capable of it. Can God do that? Yes, he can. He looks at our limited resources, and he looks at his vast account that he has. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns it all. And God takes from that which he has, and he gives to those in need. God's able to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. In fact, the scripture says it's exceedingly abundantly above. Exceedingly abundantly above what? All that we ask or think. We often can't express that which is in our hearts. It's kind of like Hannah. And only groanings can come forth. You know, we see this woman praying at the altar, and again, there's groanings that are there, and the scripture tells a story. And sometimes the burden is so heavy that it just weighs down upon us. We don't know what to do, and sometimes there are moanings that are there as we labor under the pressure of the moment, interceding on behalf of needs. Not every thought can find words. Can't find words. A little poem says, "Not all within us is known, for hearts and lives have many chords that never yield their tone." And that's true sometimes. Some things are beyond expression. It's hard for us to express, but we feel it. We go through it. How are we going to move on in our lives when we face those moments in life? It takes faith. It takes faith. It takes belief that the end is not just around the corner. God still has something wonderful. God's still on the throne. God's still going to work it out. God's still there. God's going to still help us. But we got to trust. We got to put our faith in motion and believe that things happen for a reason. We think all that we can. We imagine all that we can imagine. He has much more. In fact, the scripture says exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask, think, or imagine. God always can do more than you could ever imagine. He always can go beyond the limits you have placed. And it talks about according to the power that worketh in us in Ephesians. What kind of power do you have as a child of God? The scripture promises great things for God's people. And there's divine abilities that are imparted to God's people. Think of the power of faith. Think of the power of love. Think of the power of forgiveness. The power of sacrifice. Sacrifice? Having power? Yes. Through sacrifice, great things can happen. The greatest thing that ever happened to you or to me was through the sacrifice of Jesus. Think about it. He sacrificed himself. He gave himself to die. Many said it was the end. It's all over for him. This Christ, this one who people followed, they thought he was the Messiah. It's all over for him now. And he sacrificed. And think about it. Sacrifice, it opened up the door to heaven for you and for me. All that was won through sacrifice. There's power in sacrifice. There's power in forgiveness, power in love, power in faith. Scripture goes on to indicate, though, that we have to cooperate with what he's doing. Jesus said this: "What I see my Father do, I do." He also said, "Whatever I hear of my Father, whatever he says, then I say that. In other words, he was indicating that the strength and the teachings that were blessing people didn't just come from him, but he was listening to his heavenly Father, that unseen realm, that invisible realm. God was speaking to him. Has God ever spoken to your heart? Has God ever shared something with you? There may be some times in your life when you're going through a particular difficult situation and you're wondering, God, what's the answer here? And then all of a sudden, in your hour of desperation, there was a little inner voice that began to speak to you. It began to calm you down and to bring peace. Sometimes he speaks when a song is sung, or you hear the words from a sermon, or someone speaking, someone sharing the love of God. Sometimes it's through various ways God speaks. Sometimes it's just through being able to look at God's creation, and as you're looking at the wonder of it all, God will speak something into your spirit. In that invisible place, he speaks to you, and he helps you in your hour of need. Where are those times in your life when God has done that? Do you have any of those moments when God has shared something meaningful that has taken you out of perhaps a place of depression, a place of sorrow, and all of a sudden has lifted you up on the mountaintop, on the summit, so to speak, realizing the goodness and the provision of the God you serve? Well, if we can see the invisible and hear the inaudible, and believe the incredible, we can think the unthinkable, then the promise is we can do the impossible. Matthew, in the 17th chapter of Matthew, in the 20th verse, Jesus said, "Because of your unbelief, for verily I say to you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence, yonder place, it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you." It's an illustration that I came across that I thought was really interesting. We're talking about faith and seeing things differently in our world. So many people have given up because they've been affected by what they see in life, and they have not exercised the faith that God has given them to believe for greater days or better days. There was a man whose life was miserable. His days were cloudy, nights were long. He did not want to be unhappy, but he was. With the passing of years, his life had changed. His children were grown. The neighborhood was different. He was unhappy. He asked his minister what was wrong. He said, "Have I committed some sin?" The minister replied, "Yes, you have sinned." The man said, "Well, what might this sin be?" The pastor replied, "Ignorance. One of your neighbors is the Messiah in disguise." The old man left the office stunned. "One of my neighbors is the Messiah," he told himself. He began to think who it might be. Tim the butcher, nah, he's too lazy. Mary, my cousin down the street, no, too much pride. Aaron the paperboy, no, too indulgent. The man was confounded. Every person he knew had defects, but one was the Messiah? He began to look for him. Then he began to notice things he hadn't seen before. The grocer often carried sacks to the cars for older ladies. Maybe he was the Messiah. The officer at the corner always had a smile for the kids. Could it be him? And the young couple who lived next door, how kind they were to the cat. Was one of them the Messiah? With time, he saw things he had never seen before. With time, his outlook changed. The bounce returned to his step. His eyes took on a friendly sparkle. When others spoke, he listened. After all, he might be listening to the Messiah. When anyone asked for help, he responded. After all, this might be the Messiah needing assistance. Change was so obvious, someone asked what happened. "Why are you so happy?" "I don't know," he answered. "All I know is that things changed when I started looking for God." The old man saw Jesus because he did not know what he looked like. The people in Jesus' day missed him because they thought they did. Jesus reminds us in Matthew 25, the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. He adds in Matthew 25:45, then he will answer them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. Mother Teresa made this statement. She said, you will find Jesus in the poorest of the poor. Father, in Jesus' name, you've asked us to look upon the fields that are white unto harvest, and we see a country that many have believed was just off limits. I mean, could God do anything in that country with all the restrictions? And yet, somehow, with hearts of compassion, men and women of God have reached out, and there's a wonderful revival that's taking place in this country. And there are people, poor people, that don't have anything, but they have faith, great faith in you. Some are believing for a miracle that somehow God is going to provide for them. Somehow God is going to help them in rebuilding their church or providing for their pastor. Somehow they don't know how it's going to happen, but they have faith to believe that somehow God's going to do it. And I believe in our hearts, Lord, that somehow, God, you're going to use us. We don't know how. Right now, I don't have the resources. But I do believe that you're big enough and you're great enough that you can challenge your people. You have used this church, this congregation, to bless many hundreds, perhaps even thousands of people in the various projects we've undertaken over the years. And, Father, once again, I believe you're going to do something very special in our congregation. You will bless us, O Lord, as we in turn have eyes to see what you are doing, eyes of faith that look beyond the four walls of this building and see a world that is in great need of a Savior. God, challenge us and help us to be people of faith. Help us, Lord, to respond to what you're saying. Spirit of the living God, speak to the church. May we hear that inaudible voice that comes from the heart of God. And may we respond in a way that will please our Heavenly Father. I pray this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Have a great Lord's Day.